Okay.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we will begin. The Shabbos is Parshas Korach. The theme of the parsha, the main theme of the parsha, is about the rebellion of Korach against the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pashtus is that that's the connection between the Haftorah and the parsha as well. The Haftorah is always supposed to be main Yonah D'Yoma, so usually in Yonah D'Yoma is some theme that appears in the parsha. Once in a while in Yonah D'Yoma is, let's say, Macha Chodesh, because tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Or if you have a chosen, they used to lay in a different Haftorah. But or in Shevden Echemto, Klas de Poranuso, and so on. But most of the time, the theme of the Haftorah is connected with the theme of the parsha. So the theme of the Haftorah is also rebellion against the authority of Shmuel HaNavi. Instead of having Shmuel HaNavi leading the people, they decided they wanted a melech. So that's the simple connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created 10 different things, Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshes, and Sheshes, Mei Bereshes. So 10 different things were created. And the Rambam in his commentary on in the Shemayna Prokem and the Havdomeh, to his commentary on Pirkei Avos, the Rambam explains, based on a comment that the Gemara has, that it says, after Kriyas Yamsuf was over, says it's Vayoshev Hayom Ve'esano. So the Yamsuf went back to its old strength. Yamsuf was flowing in a certain direction. And when Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yamsuf, it stopped flowing. All the water was, instead of flowing, kept on piling up higher, 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 until the whole procession was over. All the Bnei Yisrael went to the other side, and the stream started to chase after them. Then by Yoshev Hayom, the son of the Yamsuf went back to its original strength. Eson means strength. And then the Chazal have an additional level of interpretation. The word Eson is spelled Aleph Yud Tav Nun, the same letters as Tanai. So the Gemara says Tanai Hisn HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Hayam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he created Teva, and then the Nisim that occurred throughout all the generations were not Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the Teva after the Bria. He put in a clause, he put in a Tanai in the Bria and Sheshes Mei Bereshes, that if and when Bnei Yisrael come to the Yam and will be blocking the way, so the Yam should split. So that's by Yoshev HaYam, the Eisano, the Yam went back to the original Tanai. The two types of a Tanai, the Beis HaLevi points out in his commentary, Chumash, is the Tanai of Me'achshav and the Tanai of Im. Let's say a man gives a girl a ring and he says, Aret Mukadesh Asli, if it snows tomorrow afternoon in New York City. So if it snows, the Kedushin will be chal tomorrow afternoon. If it doesn't snow, the Kedushin will not be chal. If he says, Hare Mukadesh Islay Me'achshav, if it snows. So if it snows tomorrow, it's a glowing Muslim Afreya, then the Kedushin must chal Me'achshav. So here, the Rambam explains all the miracles, all the Nisim Gluyim, where Chukei HaTeva were changed, were all Tanoim, were all built into the Teva. It's not Chuk. The pasuk appears three times in Tanakh. Choyt nosam elo yabra. Kodesh Baruch Hu made Chukei HaTeva. He himself doesn't want to violate the Chukei HaTeva. He wants Teva to continue. But all of the Nisim Gluyim are part of Teva. The Nisim Distorim, that's a real mess. Kodesh Baruch Hu pulls the strings behind the scenes to make a Nes Nistar. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing something now. But all the Nisim Gluyim are not happening now. The Nisim Gluyim were built into Teva and Sheishis Mei Bereishis. So that's what the Gemara has, a comment on the Pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, and Bria Yibra Hashem, the Fatsasa Hadoma Espia, Moshe Rabbeinu says, in Bria, he heard that there's a Piha Aretz, there's a Piha Aretz. If the Piha Aretz is nearby, it should open up now, and Korach Vadosa should get swallowed up. And if not, Yivra Hashem, I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a Nes and to change Teva now, which the Ribono Shel Olam really does. He does want to change Teva. He does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim Distarim. How is it possible to have an eis nistar? Because there's one thing in the world that's not subject to chukei teva, that's human decisions, bechira chavshis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits our bechira chavshis. Sometimes he forces us to go. He puts an idea in our mind and he forces us to go in a certain direction. So that's the only thing with his nisim nistarim is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can control our decisions, which direction we want to go. That's the only thing that's not set up with chukei teva is bechira chavshis. So that's that idea is also a connection between the sedra and the haftarah. In Hilchas Birchas Hamazon in Shulchan Aruch, it says that if a person benches on Chanukah, this Gemara and by Memadlik, Mikredin is not mukhiyev to say alanisim. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to say Ritzay, you have to say Yalav Yav. And if you don't say, you're not yet say the Suda Shabbos and Yom Tov. But on the Gemara says that on Chanukah, Mikredin, they made a takana to say the alanisim and the Shmon Esrei, but they never made a takana to say in the Birchas Hamazon. It's permissible. It's a rishus. And the minig is that we do say. It's not considered a hepsik. It's permissible. So it's obvious that if a person benches and if he got to say alanisim on Chanukah, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. On Purim, the Magen Avraham has a machlekes achrayim. If a person benched after the Sudas Purim without reciting the alanisim, maybe has to bench over because on Purim there is a Chiyav Suda. Chanukah there's no Chiyav Suda, just as in Issa Tainis, but there's no Chiyav Suda. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that if one forgot to say alanisim on Chanukah and the benching, our meaning is that after the Olamai Chasreinu, the benching is over, yes, say Omein. After the Olamai Chasreinu, that's the end of the bracha. So we say a lot of Harachmans. Harachman, Imoch Aleinu, Liyonam, Varachmans, Baruch Hashemayim, Vohoretz. So one should add another Harachman. Harachman, Yasalon, and Nisim, and Flois, Kishem, Shal, Sisal, Avsena, Bayam, and Mahim, Bazman, Azed. Then you say, Bimei, Matis, Yo, and so on. So the Shari Tshuva, next to the Behetev, quotes a kasha from the Panim Iris. How is one permitted to pray for a miracle? The Mishnah says in Brachas that if one's wife is pregnant already, it's already too late to pray that he wants Davka to have a boy or Davka to have a girl. Before she becomes pregnant, then you should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I already have 9 daughters, I want to have a son. I have 9 sons, I want to have a daughter, whatever he wants. But you shouldn't ask after it's already been determined. It's too late, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make a miracle that's not right. So how can we say, HaRachman Yasalon and Nisim and Eflois? We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Nisim. The Mishnah says that it's not permissible to ask for an S. So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Panamir is 3 klolim. So he says, one klal, you're permitted to ask for an S Nister. These in the storm are happening. Al Nisech Shebcho Yaman and Niflasecha. They're always nisim nistorim. Nis nista HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends someone's bechira chavshis. It causes them to go in a certain direction, to make a certain decision, because the bechira chavshis is not fixed. It's never fixed. But that's not considered an as. Then the second klal that Panamiris has is to ask for a nes niglam, for klal Yisrael is also permissible, because klal Yisrael is lamayla min hateva. That's what it means in the Gemara. Ein mazal Yisrael, the Jewish people are not subject to the shlitas akachavim v'amazalos. That's the Ramban Chumash has, that whoever doesn't believe that Jewish history is l'mayla min hateva, doesn't understand the ABC of the Jewish religion. This is what we assume. And then the third klal is of the Panamir is that by unusual tzaddikim, so that's the reason why we're permitted to say Rachman Yasalon Nisman Flos Kishem Shal Sisal Avzena. But Yamim Hemes Manazeh, you're permitted to ask for Nisim because you're asking for Nisim on behalf of Klal Yisrael, not asking for individual people. And then the third Klal is makes the connection between the Kriyas HaTorah and the HaFtorah here. The third Klal is that unusual tzaddikim, washkulim, connected, Klal Yisrael, have the right even to ask for Nisim, Luyim, on their own behalf. So that's why in Maseches Tainis, there's a whole perek in the Talmud Bavli that's known as the Pirka de Hasidi, the perek about all the stories about the different Tanoim and Amaroim, who ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Nisim for them. So that's unusual. An unusual tzaddik is permitted to ask for a Nes. So that's the hidden connection between the Kriya and Haftarah. The obvious connection between the Kriya and Haftarah Parshas Korach is the rebellion against the rabbinic authority of Moshe Rabbeinu and the rabbinic authority of Shmuel HaNavi. And the additional connection, according to the Medrash, is that Moshe Rabbeinu asks in Bria, if there's Pi Horitz is nearby, let it open. And if not, Yivra Hashem, I call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a Pi Horitz now. And the same thing in the Haftarah. Shmuel HaNavi wants to explain to the people how they're doing wrong. So he said, okay, it's the harvest season. And if it rains now, all the crop is going to get ruined. Everything is already detached from the ground. And Shmuel HaNavi requests HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should bring Koilus or Motor. He should start raining. So unusual tzaddikim have the right task for Nisim, even if it's not on behalf of Klal. The nest was just to show that Shmuel HaNavi was right in his condemnation of the Tzibur. I remember many years ago, I spent a few days in Bnei Brak, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael. So I was davening in the Panavish Yeshiva, and after Mincha, they wanted to say Tehillim for one of the people in the Kollel who was going through cancer treatment. So the Mashgiach was Rav Chatzka Levenstein. At that time, he was very short. I never knew him when he was healthier. He must have been 90 years old when I met him. So maybe he was much taller when he was younger. I don't know. So Rav Shmuel Razovsky was standing there in the front. They were davening Mincha next to each other in the Mizrachwand. And Rav Shmuel Razovsky is very tall. And Rav Chatzka Levenstein is very short. And he didn't want to say Tehillim. So Yisrael Shmuel Razovsky leaned over and he spoke to him for half a minute. And then he said, okay, then he's going to participate in the Tehillim. So later on, they asked what happened. So he said, how are you allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make a miracle that the fellow with cancer should get better? You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So Shmuel Razovsky told him that he has the same degree of cancer that so-and-so had, and so-and-so was cured. So the Derech HaTev, it's possible to cure this degree of cancer. So Mashgiach said, okay, then we're not asking for a miracle. We're asking something that's acceptable, the Derech HaTev. Yeah. The Gemara has a comment in Erevin. Rishoyim afilo apischo shal Gehenna meinam chosim etshuva. That a Rasha, even if he's about to fall into Gehenna, is still not going to do tshuva. Never going to do tshuva. So then Maharsha asks Akasha, there's an Agarata in Baba Basra in Perek Hamoiches HaSfino. The Gemara says that Rabbi Barbachana had an Arab tour guide showing him all the different interesting sites. So he showed him Blui Korach. He showed him Meisei Midbar. He showed him the Jews, some of the Jews who died in the Midbar. And when Rabbi Barbachana came back to the Beis Medrash and he told the other people in Yeshiva that he saw the Meisei Midbar, so they asked him, oh, did you check to see how many strings they had on their tzitzis? Because there's Machlekes Bisham and Bisula, whether you take three long strings and you fold them over to make six, or you take four long strings and you fold them over to make eight. So he said, Rabbi Barbachana said it didn't occur to him that he should check. So they said, what an idiot. You saw the Meisei Midbar, you had a chance to check archaeologically, to see how many strings it's supposed to be. We have four folded over to make eight. So they were upset at him. So then the Gemara continues to say that the Arab tour guide, Hahutaya, showed him also Blui Korach. He showed him the opening, the Piha Aretz, and he said, listen. So he leans over and he hears that the Korach Vadasa, they're screaming out, Moshe Emes V'Sairasa Emes Anachnam Badoim. That Moshe Rabbeinu is true and the Torah is true, and we're a bunch of liars, we're a bunch of fakers. So the Mashor asked Akasha, but the Medrash says, the Agadita in Erevin says, Rishayim afila pischa shal gehenim, enim chosim b'tshuva. So doesn't this Gemara contradict it? Here you see that they were chosim b'tshuva. So I think the Mashor says that there's a difference between pischa shal gehenim as opposed to after he already fell into gehenim. Here the B'loi Korach already were in gehenim, the Pi Horitz opened up. They weren't Gehenim. So after they found the Gehenim, then they did. Say tshuva. But al pischa shel Gehenim, if they're about to fall in, Truth of the matter, the Gemara in Erevin asks a different question. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rishayim afilu pischa shalgan menim chayos b'tshuva only applies to Rishay umas ha'olam. By Rishayim of Yisraelim, the Gemara says they will be chayos b'tshuva even before they fall into Gan. Even al pischa shalgan, they will be chayos b'tshuva. Okay. There's a famous comment from the Dubna Magid in connection with this kasha. He says that there was a miserable person who was a big miser. He was wealthy and he was miser and never gave any charity. He was never friendly with anybody in town. And then he needed a shidduch for one of his daughters. So no one wanted to marry him. So he sent a shatchan to go to a different city. So the people in the community disliked him so much, they sent representatives to the community to kill every possible shidduch, to ruin his reputation. So he finally, he had no choice. He sent a shatchan to a very distant location and he should find him a shidduch there. So the community heard about that, and then they wanted to ruin the shidduch too. So they sent someone from the community to that village, and he came on Erev Shabbos, and he saw to it that he got invited to the home of the person who had a son who was gonna marry this this miser's daughter. So he saw to it that he was invited to eat by him for Shabbos. So they strike up a conversation in the middle of the meal, and he says, "Which village? Where do you live?" He said, "He lives in such a village." He said, "Oh, I'm about to clinch a deal with a shidduch, with a man there from the village. Do you know so-and-so?" So he says, "Sure, I know him." So he says, "Tell me something about him." So he starts praising him. "He's such a wonderful man, such a big baltstoke. He always davens tefillah b'tzibur. He learns daf yomi and this and that." Everything, praises, praises. And then after the whole thing is over, he says, "Very nice, beautiful. What's your name? How do they call you?" So he says, "I'm Yankel the liar." So the Baal HaBos understood that everything that he said was a lie. So he said, "That's what they said over here. Moshe Emes v'Sarah Emes. Who am I? Anachna Badoin. We're a bunch of liars." So that's the Dubna Magid suggestion, that they never did tshuva. They never did tshuva, even when they were in Gehenna. But that's the Posh Pshat is not so. Rav Soloveitchik has a drasha that was printed by Rabbi Abe Bezdin. Has two volumes of drushas by Rav Soloveitchik. He has a drasha about the Derech HaLimud that Rashi quotes the Medrash that Korach argued with Moshe Rabbeinu. If you have a house full of svarim, do you still have to put a mezuzah on the doorpost? And if you have a beged, that's all, the whole beged is made from trelis, they still have to put trelis in the corner? Or is it good enough just to put lavan without trelis? So common sense dictates that if one chut of trelis is enough, so the whole beged is trelis. If you have one mezuzah on the doorpost, it's good enough. So certainly if that's a house by small Israel, you shouldn't need any mezuzah. So the, that a lot of times common sense doesn't apply when you're working on a shaila. Just like in physics and in chemistry, common sense doesn't always win the day. Common sense helps in other areas of life, but common sense doesn't always win the day in physics and chemistry and biology, medicine. Common sense doesn't necessarily apply. So to in Liman HaTorah, every discipline has its own self-contained style of logic. So Liman HaTorah has its own style. So we should be careful not always to apply common sense to learning. Yeah, a lot of times people make chakiris. They make chakiris instead of trying to figure out what is the Gemara telling us, they're putting things into the Gemara. They make up a whole, they construct a whole world of ideas, and they're putting their ideas into the Gemara. Try to learn what the Gemara is trying to tell you. Don't try to put things into the Gemara. You shouldn't force your understanding into the Gemara. So this is very important. We live in a generation that people are making up their own Derech HaLimud. Everybody makes their own Derech HaLimud. It's a big problem. Korach made a whole machlokes against Moshe Rabbeinu, and then at the end of the whole story, the Torah says that we want Korach v'chadosai. We don't want there should be this should repeat itself again in the history of the Jewish people. So one could have understood the pasuk: you're not allowed to rebel against Torah's Moshe, not allowed to argue with what Moshe Rabbeinu said. The Gemara takes it that hamachzik b'machlokes is over b'loy seser, v'liyek k'korach v'chadosai is alav. He's not allowed to make machlokes. So the Chafetz Chaim has an essay about this, that in Europe it was very common that people would make machlokes. You lived in a little village and no one made a parnassus. So one who causes a machlokes is over on alav. And then he says, and usually all week long that people are busy working for a living. So on Shabbos is the only time they have off. They have time to make a little machlokes. So one who makes a machlokes on Shabbos, the Chafetz Chaim quotes a passage from the Zohar, is in violation of an additional law. Lo sevaru eish b'chol mosh v'seichem b'yoyim ha-Shabbos. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that there are lametes of his malachis, and one of them is havara, not to cause something to catch fire. And the Zohar interprets an additional level of interpretation. It goes on eish ha-machlokes. So one who makes a machlokes on Shabbos is over an additional law. Usually the machlekes are made on Shabbos and Yantar, when people have off, to have time to waste, to make a little machlekes. It's interesting, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, when Moshe Rabbeinu was so angry at Korach v'Hadassah for making this machlekes, he praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shouldn't accept their mincha, tefen el minchasa. So the Pashup Shat is, all of the 250 people that were all going to take Torahs, we're all going to be maktir k'toros. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't accept their k'toros. That's the pashup shot. Rashi quotes an additional interpretation from the Medrash. Every day in the midbar, they were bringing t'midim u'masofim, and in conjunction with the korban tamid, you bring a menchasim and eskem with the musafim also. Menchasim and eskem came with dubar, you bring a mincha. So Moshe Rabbeinu requests, and the mincha is a korban tzibur. Everybody is a shutuf. So part of the mincha shouldn't get burnt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't allow the fire on the mizbech to burn the whole mincha. He's so upset about Korach v'Hadassah, their share in the mincha, their chelek, 1%, less than 1%, 250 people out of Shishim Ribom. So their chelek of the mincha should not be burnt. It should remain raw on the mizbech. This is a medrash. The pashtus is there is a principle of zerach hashem teiva. We can't accept the carbon of a person who's a rasha. You have to figure out what level of a rasha, which type of carbonus does this then apply to. But it doesn't apply to a carbon tzibur. The tzibur is not a collection of many different individuals. Tzibur is not the same as shutvim. If you have shutvim, so the chelik of Ruvin is a zevach hashem tayeva. But it's not a collection. Tzibur means the entity of Klal Yisrael. It's more than the sum of all of its parts. The tzibur is more than the sum. It's called Klal Yisrael. It consists of all the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu till Yemos HaMashiach. Everybody, all the generations are included. So there, strictly speaking, that's not really called the. That's not that. That's al tefen al min chasam. Their share, even though they gave machzal shekel money, but their share in the tmidim and musafim, it doesn't make sense that it shouldn't get burnt. One of the in the early 1900s, we had a lot of after the Haskalah movement, so there were a lot of Jews who were not observant. So the question was, can you be mitzar of them to a minyan? So one of the Gedolim suggested that for Shachris and Mincha and Ma'ariv, it's okay, even if they're not religious, as long as they believe in the power of prayer. If they don't believe in Tfilah, so there's such an idea, the Ramah has such an idea, that the moment of Dover Echa is Dina Ka'akam La'oisei Dover. Dina Ka'akam La'oisei Dover. So if he doesn't believe in the power of prayer, so then he's like a Nochri. There's room to say you shouldn't be able to be mitzarif him. Let's say he believes in prayer, but he doesn't, he's not so observant. So would you say, since the tefillos are keneged hakorbanos, and zevach hashem teiva, so he can't be mitzarif a rasha to a minyan, So most of the Gdolim assumed you can't be Mitzar for Rosh. So one of them, I think it was the Ragat Shover, one of them came up with a Chiddush that Musaf is not, you don't, Tosis points out, you don't say Tfilo Rachmeninu, that the essence of prayer is Bakoshas Tarochim. The essence of Musaf really is in the Shalma form Swastainu. So you cannot be Mitzar for Rosh to a minion for Musaf purposes because of the din of Zarech Hashem Te'evu. So the other Gdolim Taina that it doesn't make any sense. Musaf is a korban tzibur. It's not a korban ashutfim. The tzibur doesn't apply zarech hashem te'evu. What do you mean? You can't label the tzibur as a rasha. Yechidim can be rishon. So just because the fellow is a rasha, if he would bring a korban yachid, maybe we wouldn't accept it if he's that much of a rasha. But with davening musaf, tfilas musaf is a korban tzibur. The korban tzibur really can't apply the idea of zarech hashem te'ev. The tzibur is not a rosh. At the end of the parsha, Rashi quotes an interesting comment from the Medrash, because Korach was ma'arer al hakohuna, so that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom felt compelled to review the Rechov Talad Matnas Kohuna. They're really more than Chav 24 Matnas Kohuna. But apparently, the Tanoim, the Brises speak about the Chav Talad Matnas Kohuna. Apparently, we're combining a few together in the listing. So there are different opinions exactly which are the Chav Talad Matnas Kohuna. We spoke about it a little bit this week. We were learning the Gemara in Chulin. And one of the Nafkaminas Ladina, as far as how you calculate which are the 24 Matnas Kohuna, it will come out that there's a shayla whether Maisa Behema, that's at the end of Chumash Vayikra, towards the very end of Chumash Vayikra, that if a farmer had 10 behemas born in his herd in the course of the 1 year, all within Rosh Hashanah, Maisa Behema, we'd pass as Echad B'Tishrei. So from Echad B'Tishrei till next Rosh Hashanah, he had 10 behemas born, and he puts them all together in one corral. He has them go out one by one. So each, the 10th one, the 20th one, each 10th one, as a din of Maisa Behem, it's a korban. So the Ga'onim are of the opinion that that's one of the Matnas Kohuna. Rashi says there is no source. It's not from the Matnas Kohuna. The farmer brings the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't have to bring it to the Kohanim. So that's an afkamina l'halacha. Which are the 24 Matnas Kohuna? Because different Rishonim and different Ga'onim have different ways to calculate, because they're more than 24. So that's one of the afkamina. One who wrote a whole essay about this was Rabbi Yeruchim Perlo and the Sefer HaMitzvos L'Rav Sadia Gaon. So he has a long arichas about the different opinion. How do you calculate the 24? What are the nafkaminas l'dina? So because Korach was ma'ar al hakuna, so the end of the Sedra, the Torah reviews many of the dinim, many of the matnas kuna. So the Torah speaks about the Levim should do shmiras hamikdash. And the Levim were divided, the Gemara has, the Levim were divided into different groups, and it had to be, each Levi had to be appointed. Those who had good voices would sing or play the musical instruments. They were Mishorim, and then others were Sharim. Others were just in charge of locking the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says that there's a Chi of Misa B'Dei Shamayim that's in the Parsha. Zarak Yumas, a Levi who does avoidus Levi Acher is Chayv Nisa B'Dei Shemayim. The Gemara's Lashon is Mishorer Sheshir Chayv Nisa. If this Levi was appointed to sing or to play music, and instead he shifts over and he does the avoida by stating God in the Beis HaMikdash, that's an Einish Misa. So that's a din of Shmiras HaMikdash. Rambam writes that Shmiras HaMikdash is like supposed to function like palace guards, that it adds a kovod to the palace. Not so much that we're afraid someone's going to steal some of the kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. That's also an inyan. People shouldn't steal. But you wouldn't need Dafka Levim for that. You can have Secret Service people take care of it. You need Levim. It's more of a kovodik to have palace guards. Then the Torah starts going through the Matnas Kohuna. So it mentions Truma, and it says that Truma is Mishmeres Truma Osai in the plural. What is the plural? So the Gemara says, Vishtei Trumas Harkasim Adaber, Achas Truma Torah, Achas Truma Tmeo. Truma Tahoira is Mishmeres. The Kohanim should watch that it shouldn't be Kohanim or the farmer. They should all watch that it shouldn't become Nitma. And then even Truma Tmeya also already is Tameh, so it's also Dina Mishmeres, that you shouldn't let it go to waste. You shouldn't let it be Halach Le'ibud, because the Truma Tmeya, the Kohanim may use for fuel to cook Lahasik Tachas Tavshilom. A non-kohen is not allowed to. Truma is Muta Bana, but it's not Muta Bana Shal Kiloi. To have it consumed in order to keep warm, in order to give illumination, or in order to give warmth to cook food, is only mutter for Kohanim to do that. If you have a street where Kohanim live as well as non-Kohanim, and you're going to light Shemen Shel Truma Tmeya, you're going to burn some Shemen Shel Truma Tmeya, so the Kohanim will be able to see that the Gemara has the expression, Ner Leyech and Ner Lemeya. Since there are Kohanim who do live there, so it's mutter to burn the Truma Tmeya for the Kohanim. So the non-Kohanim, as far as they're concerned, they're getting Hanor She'enu Shel Kilui. It's not getting consumed because of them. It would have gotten consumed anyway because the Kohanim have to see how to walk on the street at night, not in the daytime, at night. But so that's why the Gemara said, that's why it says in the plural, Mishmeres Truma Osai, both Truma Torah and Truma Tmeya, you have to be careful. Mishmeres, to guard it, to protect the truma, should neither become nitma nor should become nipsat. Even truma tameya, which is tamei anyway, you can't eat it. The kohanim can't eat it, but they have to be careful. It shouldn't be halach leibud. Rashi in the beginning of Chulin, on the base on the base, points out in the Gemara that if there's a din of mishmeres by truma, kal v'chaimer there's a din of mishmeres by kochim. You have to be careful that korbanah should not become nitma. Korbanah have a higher level of tuma than truma, high level of Kedusha than Truma, so you certainly have to be careful that the Korbanah should not become Mekabal Tumah, and it should not be Ha'olach Le'ibud. The Pasuk says when the Kohanim eat the Truma and all the other Matan's Kohanim, they should eat it L'mashcha. What does it mean, L'mashcha? In a Bekovedik fashion, L'mashcha means L'gedula. G'der Shaham Lachem Ochlim. So you shouldn't make hot dogs out of Besar HaChatos. You should eat it tzli, you should eat it broiled like steak with chardel, dip it into mustard, and in the kavadika fashion. But the pasuk not only goes on steaks of the chatos and the osham, but it goes on truma as well. Truma should also be eaten lemashcha. There is a discussion in the Tosus. Shita Mukubetzis quotes this text. We don't, Shita Mukubetzis on Zvachim and Menach is printed on the side of the page. And it's a likut of Bali Ateisus, a likut of Ateisus. So the Mishlah Melech quotes this discussion. When the Kohanim make the Chatos and the Yoshim, they had to eat a Dafke in the Azara. Because Kochim are restricted in the Azara. Kochim Kohanim can eat in all of Yerushalayim. And Kochim can only be eaten in the Azara. In the Azara, we have a rule, Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara. Even the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit down in the Azara. Everyone in the Azara has to stand. So the Bali Ateisus raised the question, how did they eat Chatos and Osham in a standing position? That's like in a fast food store, that people eat the sandwiches in a standing position. That's called a Mashkel, a Gedula. Kederach Sham Lachem Ochlim. Kederach Sham Lachem Ochlim is you sit, and you eat in a comfortable fashion. So that's a big machlekes that the Shita Mukubetzes quotes Bali Ateisus had two opinions. Some said for the purpose of eating kochim kochim, they're certainly permitted to sit in the Azara. Otherwise, it'll be a lack of lamashcha. And others disagreed. It was a big machlekes. Recently, it became popular again, an old minig that existed in the days of the Bali Ateisus that's recorded by the Mordechai. And it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, so somehow the meaning disappeared. And in recent years, people print entire Sfarim on one little topic, like you have a 400-page book, how to answer Amen properly. Or you have a 400-page book, all the dinim of Chuppah, all the dinim of Shever Brachas, all the dinim of Aneinu, whatever. So someone, they put out a few different people, put out Sfarim, all the dinim of Pidyon HaBen. So they quote this, Mordechai said, became popular again. When you do a Pidyon HaBen is also in today's Sedra. So when you do a pidyon haben, that the kohen should be sitting and the avi haben should stand as if he's coming to approach a king. The king sits on his throne and the commoner comes to give a gift to the king. So the avi haben should give the money in a standing position to the kohen who's in a sitting position. That's lamashcha legedula. In the pasuk, it only goes on eating. Eating the kavana should be lamashcha. When the pasuk writes over the din of pidyon haben, it says ach podoy sifdeh is pechor ha'odom. It sounds like the kohanim do the pidyon haben. Where do the kohanim do the pidyon haben? By they're accepting the money from the father. It's not that the father does. Normally you say the father did the pidyon haben. But the way the pasuk reads, it sounds like the kohanim is agreeing to accept the money, does the pidyon haben, accomplishes the pidyon haben. There is a discussion in Achrenim, piron bal korcha shmei piron. If you owe somebody money, let's say you owe someone $1,000, and he's all dressed up for Shabbos, he just went to the mikveh, he's on his way to shul to be mekabel Shabbos, and I give him the $1,000 now in cash. So he says, don't give me the money now. Where am I going to put it? I'm on my way to shul. I don't want the money now. So the din is piron bal korcha shmei piron. Unless I give it to him, even though it's in an uncomfortable position, unless I give it to him my car breaks down in the middle of Harlem and the local starts surrounding the car. And then I say, oh, I tell the other fellow in the car, I owe you $1,000. Here's the $1,000. When he lent me the money, in a secure, safe atmosphere. So I have to pay him back the money in the same degree of a secure atmosphere. I give him back the money in a makom shein mishtamer, so that's not called a piron. But if I give him back the money, it's a makom mishtamer, but it's an uncomfortable payment. Let's say I pay him back the money in singles. I owed him $1,000 and I give him $1,000 in singles or in quarters. So he's not happy about that. He says, give me a check or give me a $1,000 bill, if such a thing exists. I don't know. So the Gemara says, piron bal korcha shmei piron. So there's such a discussion, can the avi haben do pidyon haben bal korcha of the kohen? The kohen doesn't want to do the pidyon haben. Can the father give the kohen the money against his wishes and say, this is the pidyon haben? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that based on the reading of the pasuk, ach podo sifte, it says that the kohanim do the pidyon haben by their deciding to accept the cash. So it sounds as if it has to be midaitam. They have to agree, they have to consent to do it. And then the pasuk continues to say, "Zeh yelachan the kodesh hakadoshim min ha'esh." This is when you bring a korban kachim kachim. So the when you bring a chatasim and an asham in a mincha, all three are kachim kachim. So parts of it are burnt on the mizbeach by the mincha. The comments is burnt, and by chatas and asham, the chalovim are burnt, the emurim are burnt. But the rest is eaten by Zichrei Kuhuna in the Azara. So the pasuk says, "Zeh yelacha mekodesh hakadosh min ha'esh." So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. Whether do we the chelik that the kohanim get by the kachim kachim is that mamon bailam or is that mamon gavoya? So there's one tanos of the opinion karbonos on mamon bailam. It belongs to the bailam. And the majority opinion that was accepted was no. Kochi kochim for sure. Zeyel hamakodesh kodash ma'esh is considered as if everything really should have been burned on the mizbeach. And we say instead of burning on the mizbeach, we give part of it to the kohanim to eat. But it's min ha'esh. Just like the esh is mama gavaya, so to the kochi kochim is mama gavaya. What about kochim kalim? What about when you bring kochim kalim, bring a shlamin or something like that? Is that also Maman Bailam? Is that also Maman Gavoy? Is that Maman Bailam? So that's a machleg of Yosef Glili and the Chachamim and the first parak and Baba Kama and Daf Yud Gimel. And there is theories in the Rambam that the Halacha Mishnah and the Ksaisa Cheshin points out. It's a problem. How did the Rambam understand this din? That some, with respect to some dinim, he thinks that Kochim Kala Maman Bailam. Respect to other dinim, he thinks that Kochim Kala Maman Gavoy. Then the Torah says only kohanim are permitted to eat truma. Kol Torah beveischa yochal kodesh. So the Sifrei has a comment. Beis zelishto. Kotorba Vesriochon Kodesh tells us that Eishes Kohen is permitted to eat truma even though she herself was not born a Kohenis. She was a Yisraelis or a Levia, but she married a Kohen. But that pasuk Kotorba Vescha Beis Zelishta only applies if the marriage already was completed. Beis Zelishta is only applicable to an Isua. It doesn't apply to Arusa. Erisin is the first step of marriage, and Nisuin is the second step. Erisin is Kiddushin, when you give the ring. And then by us, after you give the ring, you say, Hariat Mekudesha, so you read the Ksuba. After the Ksuba is read, then you do the Nisuin. You recite the seven brachas standing under the canopy. So that's the Bichas Nisuin. The first bracha is Bichas Erisin. Second bracha is Bichas Nisuin. So how do you know, the Gemara says, how do you know that even a girl who's only Arusa to a Kohen, she didn't have Nisuin yet. This Pasuk tells you, Kol Tor B'Veischa B'Eishes Uishtoi, is Nisu, how do you know that even Arusa is permitted to eat Truma? So the Gemara has another Pasuk, Kohen Kikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo. If the Kohen only did Kiddushin, he made Kiddushin Kesef, he's also allowed to eat Truma. But that's why Rashi and Kiddushin writes on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the bottom Rashi, that Kol Tor B'Veischa only applies to Nisua. Yeah, how did Rashi know that Beis Zavisht only applies to Nisua? He got it from the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma, where it says, V'chipa ba'ada b'yad beisa, the Kangodl has to be married on Yom Kippur, because when he says the vidui, he says vidui three times. So the first time he says, Kapanel chatam la'banas l'absham p'shechatasi, Aniu beisi. Aniu beisi means me and my wife. Beis Zavisht. So the Gemara says, he has to have Nisuin with his wife. He only has Erisin, so that's not called Beis Zavisht. Some Rishonim say in the first parak in Yuma, the Tosis Rihalova, one of the Balei HaTosis, he has a suggestion. Maybe the Rishonim disagrees with the Bavli on that. Rishonim sounds like it would be sufficient. And Gobel only had Erison, even though he didn't have Nisuin. Still, it's called Vechipa Bada Bad Beis. So that's a question. But here by Truma, that's why Rashi says, Beis Zulisht is only Nisua. Doesn't apply to Arusa. In fact, the Yerushalmiach has a suggestion. There's a passage in the Rishalmi that doesn't read straight. So the Yerushalmiach thinks you have to be Magia, you have to correct the Girsa. And what it should say is that when a person brings a Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take the Chaz of a Sheik and give it to the Kohanim. So the Mishnah says in Ezer Mekoyman, that's printed in the Siddur, Amura Mehem Ke Yitzah Behem. Amura Mehem means the Chazam Shok, Ala Shomron, Nachal Koinim, Lin Shem, Lev Nehem, Lev Dem. Eishes Koin is also permitted to eat Chazam Shok. So the Or Sameach thinks that the way to correct the Yerushalmi, it should be like this, Min HaTorah, Arusa Achelis Betruma, however, Arusa En Achelis Chazam Shok. They're not the same. Chaz b'sheik, Eishes Kohen can only eat based on the pasuk called Torah b'vescha Yochal Kodesh. So Beis Zulisht is only in Nisua. And the other pasuk, Kohen Kikin Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo, that only applies to Truma. That doesn't apply to Chaz b'sheik. So that's his suggestion. The Gemara tells us there's a difference between Achilas Truma and Achilas Chaz b'sheik. The pasuk says in Chumash, it's earlier in Vayikra. Pasuk says in the middle of Vayikra, if Kohenes marries Bas Kohen Kisili Ishzar, he betrumas HaKadosh and Lo Serchal. If a Kohenes, a girl was born a Kohenes, so she's allowed to eat Truma. If she marries a non-Kohen, then she's not allowed to eat Truma. What happens if she gets divorced or the husband dies? She's a Ramona Grusha V'Shovel Beis Avir Kinnereh Melechem Avir Atoichal. Uzera Einlo, she has no children from the husband. If she gets divorced or she becomes an almana and she had children from the husband who's non-Kohen, then just like while the husband is alive, she's not allowed to eat the truma, because ishta kegufa, just like the husband is a zar, she's treated like a zar. So if the husband leaves children, even though she's no longer married to the husband, he died or he divorced her, she's not allowed to eat truma. But Zera Einla, if she has no children from the husband, Shava basically in the rear, she goes back to her father's home. The father was a kind. Milechem aviyotechem. She's allowed to eat truma. So the Gemara says, Milechem, but like call lechem. She's only allowed to eat truma. Chazeres l'truma. So you see that the permissibility of a baskayin to eat chazav shayik is not exactly identical with the permissibility to eat the truma. To eat chazav shayik doesn't apply after she was married and then the husband dies and leaves not children. She's not chazeres l'chazav shayik. So the Yosemech thought, based on his Yerushalmi, that there's a difference in eating in the first place. That to eat chazav shayik, she has to be in a suah. And to eat truma, that's what the Gemara says, Dvar Torah, Arusa, Cheles, Betruma. And it's only Midirabbanan that they made a gzera for two different reasons, why the Arusa is not allowed to eat truma. With respect to the Pidyon HaBen, we said in the parasha, it says, Achpado Sifte, the Kohanim, by accepting the Pidyon HaBen money, do the Pidyon HaBen. It's not that the father does, an interesting Loshon HaPasik. So how much do you give for Pidyon HaBen? So we all know you give five slime. How much is five slime? So the Gemara tells us how many prutas it is. So how much is a pruta? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, and daf, where daf, the base or your gimel or something. So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim thought initially, mistakenly, that pruta is the smallest coin in the monetary system that you have. So in America, it'll be a penny. A penny will be a pruta. In England, they used to have half pennies, half pennies. Maybe they still have, I don't know. I haven't been in England in a long time. So the Gemara thought initially that a pruta is the smallest coin. And then you work out how much is a shekel, how many prutas are there. So then the Gemara said that's not correct. Then pruta is not, the word pruta doesn't mean the smallest coin in the monetary system in that country. So what is a pruta? So the Gemara never tells you what it is. So the Ramban didn't. We don't have any rif on Masechus Pchoras. The rif only wrote on the Masechus that are relevant to Halacha L'Maaseh. So he didn't write on Kachim. It doesn't come up. But a lot of the things in Kachim are relevant. The Pidyon HaBen, the whole paragraph about Pidyon HaBen is the end of Pchoras. So the Ramban wrote like a rif. He wrote his own imitation rif on Pchoras. So he quotes from the Gaonim, they had a tradition, how much is a pruta? Mishkal chatzi sora kesef zakuk. Pure, the value of pure silver, the weight of a half a barley grain. You take a barley grain is mamish, it weighs less than an ounce. If you put it on a normal scale, it's not going to register anything. It doesn't have any weight at all. You have to have a very sensitive scale to pick up the weight. So you have to take an average size barley grain. But there are probably a million different sizes barley grain. You have to take an average size barley grain, cut it in half, exactly in half. So the value of that much silver that weighs the same as Mishkal Chatzisara Kesef Zokot, pure silver, that's a pruta. So sometimes it used to be less than a penny, and now it's more than a penny. It depends on the value of silver. Silver goes up, silver goes down. So that's how you establish how much it is. So the Chazanish said, that's what the most assume. The Pidyon HaBen is 96 grams of pure silver. Which sometimes goes up, sometimes goes down. Yeah. The Gemara says in the beginning, in Bar Mitzvah, beginning of Perek HaZov, in the first daf, that once you have established how much you owe for Pidyon HaBen, it doesn't change. You don't say, let's say when I was a little baby, when I was Yom Lamed Aleph, 31 days old, my father didn't give the Pidyon HaBen. So now I'm already 25 years old, and I find out I'm a Pchor, I'm a Baal Tshuva, I have to do Pidyon HaBen. So you don't give 96 grams of pure silver today. You give how much was 96 grams of pure silver worth when the Chiyav was Chal. That's another question. When is the Chiyav Chal? Is the Chiyav Chal on the 31st day? The Chiyav is Chal the day the baby is born, but it just can't do the Kiyam HaMitzvah until the 31st day. That's a further discussion in the Netziv, in his Chuvus, and it's Chidushim on the Gemara, and the Meroi Meisoda. But that's what the Gemara says in the first half in Perek HaZoh, that once you establish how much Pidyon HaBen is, it stays the same. Al Pidin, we assume that money doesn't fluctuate in value. Commodities change. Food is more expensive, less expensive. Clothing is more expensive, less expensive. Gold, silver goes up, goes down, and so on. But Al Pidin, the money stays the same. So however much however much the amount the pidyon aden was, however much. The meaning is you give 100 grams of pure silver, even though the mikra aden is 96 grams. The meaning always was you give at least 100 grams. And some hold you're supposed to give 101 grams. They don't agree with the Chazon Ish's calculation that it's 96 grams of pure silver. So you give 100 grams of pure silver and shine. So the Ramban there in his Hilchos Becharis on that perek, Yesh Bechor at the end of, next to the last perek of Becharis, is all about pinyon aden. So he quotes an opinion from the early Rishon, and he doesn't agree in a big way. That's if you do the pinyon aden only on Yom Lamed Aleph. Just like there's a difference between Mila Bizmana and Mila Shalai Bizmana, if the Milas are the Yom HaShmini, Mila Bizmana, then it's Decha Shabbos, Decha Yantav, Decha Yom Kippur. But if the Mila Shalai Bizmana, then it's not Decha anything. So too, there's a difference between Pidyon Aden Bizmana and Pidyon Aden Shalai Bizmana. That's a big machloikis in Rishonim and Achronim. Is that true? You should do the Pidyon Aden at the first available opportunity because Rizim Akdimel and Mitzvahs, but you say it's more than that. That if you do the Pidyon Aden on the Yom Lamed Aleph, that's Pidyon Aden Bizmanoi. If you do it after Yom Lamed Aleph, then it's called Shalai Bizmanoi. Is that so? So the Ramban quotes such an opinion. We have it in the Shita Lono de Lami. There's a Rishon on Kiddushin that the first page of the manuscript is missing, so they don't know whose sefer it is, but it's from the days of the Rishon. And he has this idea that the Ramban quotes that when a person is paid his own Maaseh Sheni, the farmer is paid his own Maaseh Sheni, or a person was Magdish something and he's paid it back from Hegdish, so he has to be Mosef Chomish. He has to add another 25% over and above what the Karen is. It's called Chomish because after you add it on to the Karen, so altogether it's Chomish. But it's really one quarter. It's not really a fifth. So these Rishonim say when the Pidyon Aden is made Bizmanai, all you need is five slime. But if the Pidyon Aden is done Shaloi Bizmanai, after the Yom Lamed Aleph, then you have to be Mosef Chomish. So we don't paskan like that. But one should really be careful not to postpone the Pidyon Aden. Sometimes the Pidyon Aden happens to fall out on an inconvenient day, and the parents decide they're going to push off the Pidyon Aden to Sunday so all the grandparents will be able to attend. Everyone will be able to participate. That's not right. That's just like you're not allowed to postpone a Mila to make an Mila Shaloi Bizmana. If you can do the Mila Bizmana, you're not allowed to postpone it. You can do Mila Kalayam Koshel and Mila Shizriz Magdim Alamitzis. You should do the Mila as early as possible in the day. So Pidyon Aben is also, the minig is, the common minig is you do Pidyon Aben late in the afternoon, right before the end of the day. And all the Achranim complain about that. That's not right. You should do it early in the morning. The reason why they don't do it early in the morning, because hardly anybody will show up. Somehow to a bris mila, everybody knows you show up, even though everybody has to go to work. To a bris, they'll come, and to a pinyon aben, they won't come. So the Achranim all say it's not correct. The more correct is, yeah, the toss-up over here. If you'll have the pinyon aben later in the afternoon, more people will show up. That's a hidur of Roivam Hadas Melech. If you do the pinyon aben early in the morning, first thing after davening, you'll have fewer people stay for the pinyon aben, but you'll have Zviz Magdim LaMitzvah. So what do you do when there's a conflict between these two Hidurim? Zviz Magdim LaMitzvah and Beroivam Hadras Melach. So all Achronim say, it's a Beferish Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, that in the earlier generations, they used to blow Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris, because Zviz Magdim LaMitzvah, aye, but half the shul is empty. People always come late to the davening. The Gemara says it doesn't matter, because Riz Magdim LaMitzvahs takes precedence over Beroi Vam Haris Melech. But then, because of political considerations, they had to shift it to Musaf. So that's what we do at Kir Shofar and Chazaras HaShatz and Musaf. But more correct would have been to do in a Shachris, even though the shul is half empty. When the Torah describes the mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, so it says, Kol chelav tirash v'chol chelav dogon. So the word chelav means min hamufchar, so the Gemara understands that you're supposed to be mafresh min hamufchar. Then the Gemara also points out the concluding pasuk, L'sis olav chayit b'harim chem eschel bo mimenu. There's a name, so yeah, b'harim chem eschel bo Mimeno means that it should be min hamufcher. If you turn min harua, that's the last pasuk. If you turn min harua al hayofe, you over on alav lasiso alav chet. If you turn min harua al hayofe, you over on alav. And the Gemara says that it's chal. There's in general there's machlekes abay v'rova. Whenever you have the milsa damar chamana loisavit, Torah says you're not allowed to do something. Does it follow necessarily that if you go ahead and you do it, it's not even chal b'diavit yavid loimani? Or do you say, no, milsa damar chamana loisavit? Torah says you shouldn't do it. Yavid mahani. If you did it, it'll be chal. But you did an aver. So that's a machlekes in general. Very rare what the nafkaminas are. Hardly any nafkaminas at all. But the Gemara says, let's say if a man is mekadosh, a kohen is mekadosh, a grusha, he saw his mekadosh a mamzera, so he's oivan alav, but the pasuk says it is chal. So even if you all generally yavid loimahani, here it says it is chal. Let's say a man is mekadosh a shesish, his man is mekadosh isha abita, so the pasuk says it's not chal. So even if you hold in general, milsa damachmana yavid mahani, whenever there's something you're not allowed to do, if you go ahead and you do it, it will be chal here. It's a beferish pasuk, but it's not chal. So as far as getting married, we know what the din is. Do you say milsa damachmana lasabi yavid mahani yavid la mahani? So by chayvi lavim we say yavid mahani. It is chal. By chayvi krisus we say yavid la mahani. It's not chal. So what about other areas of halacha? So the Gemara said this pasuk tells you nasisa olav chay parim chem eschal b'mena. If you turn min aroa ala yofe, you weren't mafresh min amuvcha. So the pasuk tells you that here it is chal. If it wouldn't be chal, then you'd have to be mafresh again. Then it would. So what avera did you do? The truma wasn't chal, so there's no avera. So obviously, emenu, if it's not chal, nesias chet minayim. What avera did he do? So here also the din is the pasuk tells you yavid mahani. If you're mafresh menorah leyofa, it is chal. Also the gemara learns that from that pasuk. Kol chel of tirash v'chol chel of dogon. You have to be mafresh separately from tirosh. Tirosh is wine, and yitzer is olive oil, and dogan is a chamesh, is meaning dogan. Menatora, that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, like Rashi and Tosfos. That menatora, one is only chayv and shumas and maisus, if it's dogan, tirosh, and yitzer. If it's any, let's say, maisa yerek, the Gemara says is only the Rabbanan, and most of the Rishonim hold that all other fruits are also only the Rabbanan. Everything is only the Rabbanan. The Rambam disagrees. But in Shulchan Aruch, we have not accepted the Rambam's opinion. Shin Laman Aleph, there's one simon in Yeridah, Shin Laman Aleph, very long, has all the dinim of Shumas and Maisus and Shemitah the Yovel and everything. So there are more there, paskins like the Rashi and the Tosfos. There are only Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar, Chayiv Minatorah and Shumas and Maisus. The Gemara tells us that if a child is a katan before Bar Mitzvah and he comes to the Beis HaGoren, the farmer cleaned out all of the psolus from the yochel and his mafresh truma. So one is the farmer will be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of giving truma, even if he gives it to a cotton. It has to be the cotton has to be intelligent enough, responsible enough to be careful not to allow the truma to become tummy. But if he's a little kid, he's 5 years old, he can't rely on him that you're not allowed to give him truma. He may be mitamiyat. He may not be careful of being mitami. But if he's careful about tuma vitara, then you can give him truma. So the Pri Chodesh was bothered with Akasha. A kotlin is only koine midirabonim. Men a Torah, in order to be koine something, you have to be a bardas. And a cotton is al pidin al abadas till bar mitzvah. Even if he's the world's biggest genius, the Vilna Gaon, al pidin a cotton is considered al abadas. So how is the farmer yotze the mitzvah of matnas kuna if he gives the truma to the kain cotton? The kain is not kaina. So the Pri Chodesh answers when based on tesis. That's how we pass them like this tesis. Whenever there's das acheres makne, since the farmer is giving the truma to the kain cotton. So whenever there's das acheres makne pinpointing, I want to give the matana to this child before bar mitzvah, so then the child is kaina min haTorah. Das acheres makne is kaina. So the Tzeis HaChoshen is not happy with the answer of the Pri Chodesh. He says that point that you consider the farmer is giving the truma, he's making up his mind, he wants to give it to the kain cotton, that's called das acheres makne. That should depend on the machloikis that the Gemara has, whether The farmer has what we call Tovus Hanoah. He has the right to pick whichever coin he wants to give it to. So the question is, the fact that he has the right to pick which coin he wants to give it to, is that considered a bailus? Is considered as if the farmer owns the truma? And when he gives the truma to a particular coin, it's his decision. He's a das makna or a tovus hanoah in a moment. No, not that the farmer has a bailus. Once your mafresh truma belongs to the shevet kahuna, and the farmer doesn't own it anymore. So the Tzais quotes the Tshuvas Maimoni in the back of every Sefer and the Rambam. They have a collection of Tshuvas of the Baalei HaTosafot. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the Rambam. They have at the end of Noshim, at the end of Kedusha, at the end of every section in the Rambam. You have Tshuvas of the Maharam Rutmerg and other Baalei HaTosafot. So the Tzais quotes one of the Tshuvas in the back of the Rambam. It's right, like the Hagos Maimoni on the bottom of the page of Ram has nothing to do with the Rama. He tells you what Shitas Rashi and Tosis was on all the issues of the Rama. He doesn't talk about the Rama at all. So the Tzais quotes the Tshuvas Maimoni, where the Tshuvas, the Baalei HaTosafot say, since we pass on the Halacha Tovus Hanoah in a moment, so that's not called Das Acheres Makna. So the Kotan is not Koinim in HaTorah. So how is the farmer Yotze the Matan Skuna, if the coin wasn't Koine, the Truma that we gave to him? So the Tzois gives an answer based on the Pasuk in today's Sedri. The Tzois says, when do you say that a person has to be a Bardas, you have to have Das Koine in order to acquire ownership? That's if someone doesn't owe you money. Let's say the kid shoveled the snow for me. He washed the dishes for me. He washed the windows for me. And I agreed that I'm going to pay him $5 for doing the work. So when I pay him the money, since I'm a chuyiv, I'm giving him a Torah's piron achov. So there's no need for the cotton to make a kinyan. And there's no need for his das. When I make the money accessible to him, I make the money available to him, it's considered piron achov. So then, by virtue of the fact that I did piran achayv with this money, I gave him the $5 that I agreed to pay him for shoveling the snow, for washing the windows. So he's kind of the $5. So the pasuk says in today's tedra, kisachuhu lachem chelav avedaschem bi oil moed, giving the maaserishim to the levim and giving the truma gedola to the kohanim is considered schiras poelim. Because the Kohanim and the Levim do avoid in the Beis Hamikdash on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, so we have to give them a salary. That's what it says. Sochu lachem. So giving the truma to the kain katan is kainah because it's piran achayv. But then the Ksos asks a kasha on himself, and he says, "Well, it's not a kasha." He says, "But a kain katan can't be makro karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. Can't be makro karbonis till your bar mitzvah. So how can you take this pasuk sochu lachem and declare that giving truma is considered piran achayv by kain katan? Kain katan can't do avoid in Beis Hamikdash." So he said, it's a loy plug der rice. So the Nesivus writes, the Tzais himself didn't like his own answer. He shlugged up his own answer, that if he's a katan, he can't be makro karbonos in Beis Hamikdash. So the Nesivus thinks that the whole kasha is a mistake in the first place. He says the premise of the whole kasha of the Pri Chodesh was that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of giving the truma matas kahuna to the kohen katan if the katan is kohen. So he said, who says? Let's say I invite the kohen katan, I invite a kohen, any kohen. I invite a kohen to come to my home, and I give him some truma. I have apples, oranges, and I say, please have some truma. Are you tahor? You went to the mikveh? Okay. Please eat the truma. So when I make the truma accessible to the kohen, even if he's not kohen, that's called matnas kuna. That's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of the sinas truma. Doesn't have to be ayideh hakno. If I make it available to the kohen, that he should be able to eat it. So then I'm yotzei the mitzvah of the sina. The Gemara says beferish in Bav Metzia around Daf Yud Aleph, that when it comes Pesach of the fourth year and Pesach of the seventh year, in the 7-year cycle, the Shemitah cycle, that Shas HaBiur, So the Gemara says one is only in fulfillment of the biur of giving away everything if he made a kinyan. He gave it over to the kohen and to the Levi, and they made a kinyan on it. So does that mean that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Nisinas Matnas Kohen and Nisinas Matnas Leviya, you need a kinyan? So the Nesiva says, no, that's only a din in Shas Habir. That's only Erev Pesach of the 4th year, Erev Pesach of the 7th year. That's for the purposes of Bir. You only I'd say if you gave it over to the Kohen and the Levi and they made a kinyan. But for all year long, the regular din of Nesinas Truma, there's no need for a kinyan. You just make it available to him to eat. So then you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Matnas Kohuna. The Pasuk says in the Chumash that when the Levi gets the Maaser Rishon, he has to take out Maaser Min HaMaaser and give it to the Kohen. So it says in the Chumash, the expression is, V'nechshol lechem trumaschem, kadogan min agor mecham lea min hayakev. The trumas Maaser that the Leviim give to the Kohanim has the exact same status as truma gedoyla. And the Mishnah in Me'ila says that in order to get Malkus for eating, I'm not a Kohen, so if I eat the truma, I'll get Malkus, it's a lav. So you only get Malkus if you eat a kazayis. What if I eat a half a kazayis of chum and a half a kazayis of chazer? So we paskin like the Tanoim, any surim it's tar from zemze. You only get Malkus if you eat a kazayis of chazer or a kazayis of chuma. Half a kazayis of one isa, half a kazayis of another isa, and not mitzvah from yachad. So the Mishnah says, unless it's all shem echad. So the Mishnah has like this. Let's say I'm not a kohen. I eat a quarter of a kazayis of truma, a quarter of a kazayis of chala, a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of a kazayis of maisa men amaisa. So the Mishnah says, it's all shem echad. It's all called truma, and mitzvah from yachad, because if it's shmaseim shovim and shireim shovim, the shear for all four is kazayis, and all four are labeled as truma. So then the Mishnah says, they are mitzvah from zem zem. Yeah, the Pasuk says that the Azar is not allowed to eat Truma. It never says that Azar is not allowed to eat Maaser Rishon. So that's a machlokes ha-tanaim. Rav Meir has a chida, a mechudish digashita, the Maaser Rishon. Even though Maaser Rishon has no Kedusha, Truma has Kedusha. Maaser Rishon has no Kedusha. The Pasuk says, v'chaltam osa b'chol makayim. So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanaim, from the Sifrei, v'chaltam osa b'chol makayim, afilu b'veis ha-kvaris. Even if the Maaser Rishon became Nitma, it's still Muta Bachila. So the Chachamim, the Reb Meir, are of the opinion, because Maaser Rishon has no Kedusha, is Muta to be eaten in a state of Tume, if the Levi is Tame, if the Maaser Rishon is Tame, they're both Tame. So who are the Nami? It's Muta Lazar. And Reb Meir has a Chiddush Dikashita, we don't pass like Reb Meir. Meir holds that Maaser Rishon is also Lazarim, even though it doesn't really have any Kedusha. Then at the end of today's sedra, we have a pasuk. It's the last pasuk, right before maftir. Mikol matasechem tarimas kol trumas Hashem mikol chelbas migdusho mimenu. So the Sifrei has a drasha on that pasuk. This claims the whole drasha is the proof in the Bavli and the Gemara Nida that it's only an asmacht. It's not a din deraisa. But as an asmachta, so the Sifrei has an interpretation of a din derabbanan here. If your mafresh maisa min amaisa is 1% of everything, because you give 10% of everything to the Levi, then the Levi takes 10% of that. So 10% of 10% is 1% of everything. So if that will fall back, the maisa min amaisa has the same status as truma. If that will fall back into the 99 units of heter, it will not be bottled. It's migdusha mimenu, the Sifrei darshans, as if it were read mekacho. If the one unit of truma, so the Rishonim all say, based on the Gemara and Chulam, we just learned it this week, the end of Perikid Anasha, it only applies when it's min b'mina. If it's min b'shen mina, this thing doesn't apply. If the truma falls in min b'mina into chulin, you have to have mayor units of chulin against one unit of truma. If it falls back into 99 units, it will not be bottled. There is a din, well, this I'll close. There is a din that if a non-kohen eats truma, b'mezid is chay misa b'dei shamayim. So if a non-kohen eats truma, b'shegig, he needs a kapara. Just like the Gemara makes this mashal, just like if a person violates an isa koras b'shegig, so he needs a kapara, so he has to bring a chatos. So if a person violates an isa misa b'dei shamayim, b'shegig, a zar she'ochal truma is misa b'dei shamayim. So if he eats a bit b'shegig, then he needs a kapara and he has to give kerem chaimish, daba harayli as kodesh. So they asked the question of the Avnei Nezer, one of his grandchildren, corresponded with him, it was an old man. They asked him, what's the din if a czar accidentally eats truma, let's say he drinks a cup of wine and the wine was truma. So he has to give kerem chaimish. And the tashlum and epachm liyas kodesh, it turns into truma, has the same din as truma. So now if a czar will drink that wine, he'll have to give kerem v'chaymish. The wine that you give, the kerem v'chaymish, turns into dover roi liyas kodesh. You have to give the same type of food that you ate b'shoigeg. You have to give, and you can't pay money, you can't give a check, it has to be food. And the food becomes kodesh like the original truma was. So what if a person eats bikurim? A czar eats bikurim. So bikurim is a hybrid, a combination of truma. It's only mutter lekohanim. It's also a czar to eat it. And a hybrid of truma plus maaser sheni. Just like maaser sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, so bikurim can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So what if a czar, by mistake, eats bikurim b'shoigeg? So he has to give daba haroi lias kodesh. When he gives it to the kohen, does it turn into bikurim? What do you say now? It turns into truma. Maybe the tashlum that you give will not be a hybrid of both my susheni and truma. Maybe because the din of azar she'achal truma b'shoigeg, because if he would have eaten it b'mezid, he would have mechayim v'isa b'dei shamayim. So if he eats it b'shoigeg, he needs a kapara. That's only because of the truma element that's there in the bikurim, not because of the my susheni element. So my sesheni element farfal. If somebody eats my sesheni chutz l'Yerushalayim, you don't have any din. Person eats my sesheni betuma. You're not allowed to eat my sesheni in a state of tuma. But if you do, you're not chay misav de shemayim. And there's no din. You have to give kerem v'chaymish and tashlum and that pach m'liyas kodesh. So that was the shayla. So interesting. So the Avnei Nezer says he looked, he couldn't find any mashmas and any rishonim on the topic. Interesting, Shaila. If it's zar she'ochal bikurim b'shoigeg, and bikurim is a hybrid, it's a combination. It has kedushas ma'aser sheni, it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and it has a kedushas truma, it can only be eaten by kohanim. But the din that one who eats b'shoigeg has to give kerem v'chaymish, and the tashlum and the achmias kodesh, that's because of the truma element shebo. Not because of my sesheni element. So maybe when he gives the tashlumen, maybe it's only in the pachm lias kodesh, maybe it only converts to become a truma, and it doesn't become the hybrid of both together. Very rich. The end of today's sedra has so many details about hafrashas truma. Kein tarima gam atem. The Gemara learns that from the word gam, that the gam the rabbis is hashaliach, the beginning of the second parak in Kedushin. The Gemara establishes that there's a din in Kol HaTarakula, Shluch HaShulam Kamaisai. So one of the sources is the Pasuk Gam LeRabbis HaShulech. Many, many halachas learned that with respect to the Chav Talad Matan's Kunet and the Psukim at the end of Kara. Everyone should have a good Shabbos and be healthy. Okay.
Thank you, Shachter.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good.
Thank you, Shachter.
Okay.
Rabbi, just a quick question on something you said earlier today. Let's say a woman is a aman or a grusha, and she has children. Her father has truma, he sells it to another kayin. From that money that he makes, could he give it to her, or she can't have an out of that money?
No. If a kayin sells truma, the money is chulin. He can do whatever he wants. He can gamble it on the horses. He can do whatever he wants. Yeah. He can give the money to the daughter. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, you can ask a question from someone before.
Sure.
Before we mentioned the story with, I think, with Pascal Levinson and Shmuel Rozovsky with davening that it wasn't outside Derech HaTeva, isn't it also the Gemara that says that
even if a person is about to be killed, he should still be mispalat al kadosh baruch hu. He should be mispalat that, but derech hateva he should be nitzal. But you can't ask for a miracle. If someone is about to murder me, so he may change his mind. Historically, we know there were rare cases like that. Someone was about to be executed, and the pogroms that the Cossacks did from time to time in Russia. They would kill a lot of Jews, and then the last minute they would decide not to have rachmanas on one particular person. So that's b'derech hateva. That's b'chira chavshis. You're not asking for a miracle, but if a person has a disease, and the doctors really don't have b'derech hateva, they don't really have a refuah. So what are you asking? And his situation just keeps on going worse and worse, getting worse and worse. So what are you asking? If Baruch Hashem should make a miracle, he should get better. In such a case, you have to ask that Baruch Hashem should have rachmanis on the person. Rachmanis sometimes means he should die in peace. Rachmanis sometimes means he should survive. The Baruch Hashem knows which form of rachmanis to give. To ask, please give it to this person, refuah shleima. Sometimes, but derech hateva, he has an irreversible sickness which the doctors don't know how to treat at all. So how can you ask for a miracle? You can ask for rachmanis. A lot of times they call up the yeshiva, they ask us, we should say tilim for someone who is very sick. Okay. So then they want us to say tilim. It could be that they call right before mincha, calling from the hospital. Okay. But then they want us to say tilim by Ma'ariv also. Maybe he died already when it comes time for Ma'ariv. We don't know what the situation is. They didn't call again. So if you say the Rabban Shalom should have rachmanis on Pliny, that applies to dead people also. Because we say, M'chayim esim berachmim rabim. So we ask the Rabban Shalom should have rachmanis. If he's still alive, have rachmanis. You know what rachmanis means under the circumstances. Sometimes it means he should die in peace. Sometimes he should get better if that's feasible. And if you die already, you should have rachmanis. M'chayim esim berachmim rabim.
Shachter, one more question for me. I heard you saying about the opening of the second point about another point you mentioned was about the opening of the Koch's sons and Koch's followers talking about Moshe's way. Which Amora was it that I heard this story?
About the Oretz. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana.
Thank you.
It's called the Agadata of Rabbi Bar Bar
Chana. Thank you so much.
They have a whole commentary on the Vilna Gaon on that Agadata. Every story there, he has a whole interpretation on all the stories. Strange Gemara, beginning of Bavatu, beginning of Terabasvina. Okay, good Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
You too. Thank you. Be well. Too.